As I mentioned earlier, we're expecting the administration to release its Afghanistan policy review soon, possibly this week, and some of the new thinking about Afghanistan may reflect the ideas of David Kilcullen. He's the former senior counterinsurgency advisor to General David Petraeus. He is a political anthropologist and a former Australian Army officer. He's also the author of The Accidental Guerrilla, Fighting Small Wars in the Midst of a Big One. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
Back in November, George Packer of The New Yorker quoted you as saying of the war in Afghanistan, it is still winnable, but only just. It's 4 months later. Would you say the same thing?
I think I still would, and I think that the review that the current administration has gone through has been a very detailed and sensible approach to what is an extremely difficult problem. We need to make some fairly significant changes if we do want to win it.
And you're an informal advisor to this administration.
Yeah, I'm not a member of the current administration, but yeah.
And if you could describe, in essence, the conceptual shift that would have to be made in Afghanistan beyond simply sending more forces there in order to make it winnable, what is that shift?
The fundamental shift is away from chasing the enemy towards protecting the population. We need to get into the business of making people feel safe and making them feel willing to participate in a political process that doesn't involve violence.
The title of your book, Accidental Guerrilla, suggests why small wars may be winnable. Accidental guerrilla is a way of describing someone who we're more accustomed to hearing described nowadays as a militant or a martyr or a terrorist, a person of unshakable faith in some violent, broad cause. You're not describing that kind of person. You're describing somebody who, if things were a little different in their neck of the woods, wouldn't be a guerrilla at all.
Right. The accidental guerrilla is a person who is fighting us not because they hate the West, but because they've been co-opted by a very small clique of radicals in their area, and or because we just turned up in their valley with a brigade, shot their cousin, you know, dispossessed their land and so on, and it's a backlash against our presence. We've seen this in Iraq. We discovered that less than 10% of the people we were fighting were actually motivated by religious ideology. But the vast majority of people can be co-opted and can be brought onto the side of the government under the right circumstances.
Tell me some things that the United States could do in Afghanistan or do more of that it's not doing now that would operate in that direction.
One of the things we could do is to focus a little less on the full-time main force guerrilla columns, which tend to roam around the countryside, and focus more on protecting people where they live. That is, building relationships with people in local villages, in valleys, major towns, and so on, and actually getting into cities like Kandahar, some of the cities in Helmand, such as Lashkargah, and partnering with local communities to make them self-defending. That's a subtle shift, but it would result in a very significant difference in the way that troops are deployed.
Should we assume that the war in Afghanistan remains a long war for a long time, and that whatever we do now is a 10-15-year proposition, not a 2-5-year proposition?
I would say that we have 3 to 5 years of major engagement with Afghanistan, and of that, a substantial amount will be heavy combat in the next year or two. If that goes well, and that's a big if, then we will probably find ourselves in a situation where we need to support the Afghans from perhaps one step back, if you like, as they handle the problem for another 5 or 10 years or so. And then after that, they will handle the problem. One of the differences between conventional war and insurgency is in the way that it ends. Conventional wars tend to end in the defeat of the enemy at a victory parade and everybody comes home. That's not how counterinsurgencies end. The way they end is that you drive the threat down to the level at which the locals can handle it, and then they just handle it.
Just to make sure there's no confusing your point here, as far as you're concerned, it is still vital to get at the Al-Qaeda leadership somewhere in tribal Pakistan or mountainous Afghanistan, wherever they might be at this moment.
I wouldn't necessarily use the term vital. I think that I would say that the most important area right now in what we used to call the war on terrorism is Pakistan. It's not Iraq and it's not Afghanistan, it's Pakistan. If you took the population of Iraq and the population of Afghanistan and smushed them together, they would still add up to around a third of the population of Pakistan. It's 173 million people with 100 nuclear weapons, an army bigger than the US Army, and Al-Qaeda headquarters sitting right there in the two-thirds of the country that the government doesn't control. If Pakistan were to collapse, we'd be facing a problem that would dwarf anything we've seen in the war on terrorism to date.
David Kilcullen, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thanks, Robert.
Today. David Kilcullen is a former advisor to General David Petraeus. He is the author of The Accidental Guerrilla, and he's also a partner in the Crumpton Group, a Washington-based strategy firm and a senior fellow with the Center for New American Security.